Moncrief on News Talk.
If you haven't got your spandex on already, today is the day to do it. April the 28th is International Superhero Day, and it was, surprise, surprise, created by Marvel back in the 90s. Olivia Fahey has travelled from her secret headquarters to talk to us about it. Afternoon, Olivia.
Afternoon.
Yeah, so is there, I often wondered about this, when the is there a division between people who are into the comic books and people who go to see the movies? Now, obviously, there's a crossover because people who are know all about the comic books will go, well, that's wrong and that's wrong. But is there a cohort of people who just read the comic books and really aren't that interested in the films?
There, do you know what? It's getting fewer and fewer as the years have gone on, but there are still definitely a core group that are kind of like, well, I've read the comic and this is what I'm expecting from the film, and therefore the film is going to be terrible because they're not going to do this exact storyline.
Yeah.
But then there are people, of course, who have gone to see the films and haven't actually read any of the comics either. So what I always love doing is kind of seeing what winks and nods that they put, like Easter eggs that they've put into the films that actually calls back to something in the comics themselves, even if they're not necessarily doing that storyline exactly as it was.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that myself.
Yeah. And the comics themselves, the story, like, you know, and probably, you know, obviously they're huge juggernauts, the films. So people who'd know what Iron Man looks like in the film depiction, is that what Iron Man is like in the comics?
Yeah. So what they try and do is they will always try and get the actors to kind of alter their looks ever so slightly to make them kind of look a little bit more like the characters themselves. Mm. So like Chris Hemsworth for the first Thor movie, as much as he was already kind of like blonde and buff and beautiful and whatever, he actually dyed his eyebrows blonde as well in the first one, because in the comics, that's the way that Thor kind of looked. He was just blonde like everywhere. Whereas afterwards he was like, do you know what? I think I can probably get away with a slightly like dark blonde or dirty blonde kind of look going on further. But like Robert Downey Jr. was actually the spitting image of the way that Tony Stark was being drawn in the comics. And then something that we've also noticed as the years have gone on is that they've actually started drawing them to look even more like their screen counterparts as opposed to their comic counterparts.
Really?
The exception to this rule is Nick Fury, aka Samuel L. Jackson, because Nick Fury was actually designed to look like Samuel L. Jackson. So if he hadn't been cast in the role, everybody would have been up in arms.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, so he was actually based on a real person. And the storylines in the comic books, are they darker? Are they funnier? Are they more or less the same as...
That is a very difficult question to answer, because there are a lot of them that would be very dark and dreary, and, you know, they kind of go into a lot of more sort of sinister sort of style storylines. I'm kind of thinking back to the Spider-Man No Way Home that was sort of based on a run of comics. But it was like twisted a little bit. So instead of having the character of Mephisto, who was only introduced in Ironheart, the TV series, they hadn't introduced him yet into the MCU. So they kind of swapped him out for Doctor Strange. Mm. And that's how Doctor Strange kind of got drawn into the storyline as well. But he was already involved in another way in the comics. So they kind of brightened it up a little bit in terms of the content by not having an actual demon and the devil kind of being involved in that storyline. But it was still quite a dark tale to be telling in the way that they've done it.
Yeah.
So they kind of take like the essence of it, but also it's not half as gory sometimes as well. I think the gore in some of the comics is what makes it the most different, but Deadpool would probably be the one that that is the exemption to that as well.
Yeah, and also, like, I suppose that the I don't know what the cert is on Marvel films. Is it 12s?
They try and go for about a 12s, a 12A, maybe a 15A if it's something a little bit heavier. But Deadpool and Wolverine was the rated 18s one over here. So that actually became the highest grossing over 18s movie in the genre.
Yeah.
And I actually think of all time so far as well. So it was like, it just went gangbusters at the box office. So it's one of those things where Marvel, I think, is kind of more open to it. And I also think with James Gunn has now taken over with Peter Safran, they're kind of the co-CEOs of DC Studios now. So they're kind of like together the Kevin Feige of DC Studios now. Kevin Feige, for those who don't know, is the head of Marvel Studios, and he's been guiding the Marvel juggernaut as it is to the heights that it is now. And they're kind of hoping that James and Peter are going to be able to do the same with DC. And so far, you know, their Superman movie did pretty darn well. So I think they're already on to a good track.
Yeah. But would the comics be kind of, are they aimed at, you know, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you know, can they have adult content? Is there sex in Marvel Comics or DC Comics?
In some comics, it's kind of either hinted at, but then even in, because like comics can be of any story, like they don't necessarily have to be a superhero storyline. So comics can be depicting a Western, they could be depicting, actually, my best example is Image Comics, The Beauty, was just turned into a Disney Plus series
right.
with Ashton Kutcher and Evan Peters and that. People were absolutely loving that. On streaming, but it actually does stem from a comic book, and that is all about an STD that makes you beautiful.
Oh,
essentially.
Yes, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So in that sense, like they can have like all these different types of storylines, but there can be like a little bit of sex definitely hinted at it in some of the Marvel comics. But if it is one of the more adult sort of storylines, then yeah, you could you can see some butt sometimes.
Mm, yeah, some butt. Well, you can all the time, I would have thought. It's not like, okay, they might be covered in whatever they're
yeah,
wearing.
Yeah, sorry,
but,
a bare bottom, shall
not,
we say.
It's not leaving it up to your imagination. And the other thing is like, apart from like the names people all would know, are there comics brought out that they're limited, where they're, you know, say for instance The Beauty you refer to mm-hmm. there, was that just a discrete set to tell one story?
So it actually does have a couple of other editions, but what I think with especially like the superhero storylines, what's made them kind of with their longevity is that there's always different versions that have been coming out. DC like famously did like their Rebirth series, where a lot of the characters had kind of like their backgrounds had changed and their costumes had changed. So it was all like a very like brand new sort of collection of stories that they were doing. Went down well for a while, and then they've kind of reverted back a little bit now as well. It also kind of depends on the exact story that they're telling. So for Marvel, for example, you could have in most comic books, you'd have a run of a story that's done by a specific writer and artist together. Mm. And then once that run has finished, it could last 12 weeks, it could last a year. Like it depends on what story it is that they're telling. But then they'll move on to another story, and that'll be a new writer and a new artist as well. So you're kind of contracted per book, shall we say, per storyline.
Oh, right. And so for collectors, would they collect one storyline penned by a particular artist and writer?
They would indeed, yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can even get special editions where once the run has finished, they'll release them all together in like it's one graphic novel sort of style book. And they can be worth quite a bit afterwards.
And who comes up with the stories? Our writers kind of go, here's the story you have to tell. The writer and artist, I suppose, are told. Here's the story.
What I understand is that it's a more collaborative sort of thing. And especially like with the artists as well, it's like they'll sort of know what the storyline is. They'll get the kind of the gist of the story, and then they'll start drawing the pages. And then that's how because of course it's all mostly done like dialogue and captions and things like that. And then that's how they all kind of work together on the storyline itself. It's actually really kind of, it's quite cool. And of course, like they'll have to like be pitching their story to the heads of the studio or the publishers to make sure that it's in line with what they want their characters. And it's not like, it's not taking it too extreme. Like Superman, you know, they always joke that Superman never kills anybody. And it's one of those things of like, well, are they staying with that? Can we kill someone in this book or can we not? And that's kind of the conversations that they'd have up high.
Is there a big kind of, there must be a huge character Bible someplace where people are looking up.
Oh, I'd say there is.
Has this ever happened before? Does he eat, you know, tuna sandwiches and that kind of stuff?
Honestly, I'd say that there is. I'd be very surprised if there isn't. And there's even a case of like some characters that have only been like a blow in from like the 60s or 70s. And then sometimes you'll see them popping up again in like the modern sort of stories as well. And you're like, oh, wow. So this is like a brand new sort of character when actually it's not. It's someone that had existed in the franchise beforehand.
How do they deal with that? You know, the way like Bart Simpson has been 10 for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
Do they maintain that fiction? Because they must show society changing.
They do. And like, that's why with certain stories, it's kind of interesting now to sort of see how the modern heroes are kind of fitting in with the classics as well. So for example, like bringing back to Superman as well, like he went kind of out of favour a little bit for a while because he was just seen as like this unbeatable force. He was just great at everything. Everybody loved him. He had no faults. He had only had one weakness, which was kryptonite. And you just always knew he was going to win at the end. There was never any kind of drama. There was never any kind of like risk to it. So he kind of went a little bit out of favour when people kind of wanted a little bit more of like the, oh, will he die or won't he die kind of thing. But now he sort of seems to be coming back into favour again. So it's one of those things of, depending on the character and the stories that you're telling, there's always going to be a little bit of ebb and flow to the character's popularity.
Yeah. I assume that there's a relationship perhaps between that and what might be going on in the world.
100%. Yeah. Like, I think especially with like Captain America, the first Avenger, when that was coming out, it was set in, it actually was set in during World War II. And that was kind of where the character was kind of stemming from. It was brought out during war to kind of be like, here's like this big American hero for everybody to kind of be attracted to in terms of like there is hope on the horizon kind of thing. And then when they did the film, they kind of kept that going. And because of the timing of it all, it was kind of like at a time when America was at war. So there was that attraction in that sense as well for audiences. So sometimes even if it's still set back in the day, it can have modern relevance as well.
Have there been any characters that they've just killed off or just said this isn't working anymore?
Well, they've killed them off like maybe not for very long, but they will be sort of, they might be revamped sort of like decades later, but there have been characters that, you know, they do die. Even in the film series as well, they have done that, but you know, we're
Captain
seeing
America
sort of things.
Went to the past or the future? I can't remember which one he did. Yeah,
he went to the past to live his life with Peggy. Yeah. We also have Gwen Stacy. Sorry, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen The Amazing Spider-Man 2. But even in the comics, like there was a storyline when she died, and then that's when Peter Parker went off with Mary Jane, kind of thing. And they actually put that into the movie, not with the Mary Jane aspect, but they did actually kill off Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy. So,
oh, that's unfortunate.
In that sense, they do kind of. They do kill people off, but whether they stay dead or not, because of course they're revamping all these stories over and over again. So sometimes if you're kind of going back to the start with another reboot, you know, you can pop the character back in and they'll be perfectly alive and you don't have to kill them off again if you don't want to.
Is this stuff addictive?
Yeah. Can you not tell?
But why? Have you...
Do you know what? Like, I've always been... I think one of the reasons why I was attracted to comics is because I loved the different style of writing. I loved the different style of storytelling. But also, you know, I'm quite a visual person as well. So I just loved the being able to picture these things myself. Like, I'm a big kid. I love a picture book. You know, that kind of a way. And with this kind of style, it was just... It was more accessible for people as well. So like, if you don't like reading things that are like a giant chunk of text, this is a way for you to still enjoy a story, but without having to have that kind of fear of, oh my God, it's literally like 400 pages and it's all just all these like big blocks of text. This way you can kind of get into it a little bit more. And I think people these days, they are so much more visual in how they consume content that comic books are kind of even becoming more popular again because people are so much more attracted to that kind of way of storytelling.
Has the visual style changed over the years since, you know, the early Supermans?
Yes and no, because you'll see with like a lot of artists, they'll be more attracted to, you know, certain styles of their heroes. So like Jack Kirby being one of the most famous names, there's a lot of artists nowadays who would have that kind of style. But then there's others who are kind of like, no, like I want to put my own stamp on it. You know, back in like the early Spider-Man comics, the early Superman comics, that kind of thing, they'd always be like really bright, vivid colours. Whereas now you'd see a lot more kind of like muted tones in terms of the colouring. But the stories themselves and the way that the things are kind of drawn, they'd all have like some sort of a similarity to them. And to the point that like there's a lot of Irish artists now who have had their work actually replicated in the movies as well. Like Declan Shalvey was only talking there recently how his edition of Boomerang for a series that they worked on. He's one of the villains in Marvel and apparently is going to there. That's what's based on the character for the film Brand New Day that's coming out this summer, which is very, very cool. He also worked on Moon Knight, his character Mr. Knight, his design for that character was used in the Moon Knight series. Also, Will Sliney, a very popular Cork comic artist, his design for Miguel O'Hara and one of the Spider-Men, he was used in the Sony production of Into the Spider-Verse. So, like, there's a lot of really, really good Irish talent, and they are the ones that are also then getting noticed, not only in terms of the comic world, but then also being brought to the screen as well, which I just think is fantastic.
Yeah. And you know, the big, where half the people in the universe died.
yeah. Infinity War, the snap.
Yeah. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was like, it was all a dream, Bobby Ewing steps out of the shower type stuff. In the comics, did that ever happen?
Yeah, it did.
Gosh.
And what was great was, I sat there in the cinema and I was like, I wonder, are they going to go for it? Are they going to do it? Are they going to wipe out all of these heroes on our screen? And I was kind of afraid that they wouldn't, because it is much darker. It's a much more, it's a sad ending. And like most superhero movies, you know them for being like uplifting at the end, or there's hope, or there's something. No, this was just like, oh crap, we lost. And that's just how it all ended. Like, there was like Thanos just looking, gazing out over his garden, being like, ha ha, the villain won. So I sat there in shock. I was like, I'm so glad that they did it because it needed it. But also, I was still stunned that they actually followed through on it. So, of course, we knew that they were going to try and get them all back, but we didn't know whether it was going to be successful. We didn't know who was going to come back, whether everyone was going to be the same. How were they going to work it into it? You know, that those two films, Infinity War and Endgame, they were bang on. I loved them.
All right, okay, because they came in for some criticism, would that be?
No.
Or maybe not from, maybe from, you know, people who weren't like immersed in the world.
Yeah, I think like if the superhero genre is not your thing, then you weren't really probably going to enjoy it anyways, because these were the culmination of 10 years of storytelling. And if you'd missed a couple of things along the way, you were probably not going to be able, like if you never saw any of the Ant-Man movies, only one of which had come out before Infinity War, the second one came out between the two, you know, you weren't going to recognise some of the characters that were in it.
Gosh.
So there is a lot to it. But, you know, we're hitting the reset button now. So once we have Doomsday coming out in December, if my memory serves me right, we could be seeing something very different after that.
Do you have comics at home still in the kind of wrapped in and they're your kind of retirement fund?
I don't, because I never had any of them that were kind of worth something. What I have are Pokemon cards. So
okay.
I have a folder stacked full of like thousands of Pokemon cards, but some of them are rare, like first edition, still in their wrapper kind of thing. For anyone listening who had a Machamp in the very first packet that you bought, I still have mine.
For anyone listening, Olivia Fahey's address. She's not there right now. Olivia, thanks a million as ever. Always a joy. That was Olivia Fahey there, educating you, I think, really, about the world that superheroes live in.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.